And welcome to the Tavern Chat Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Tenkar, your bartender in the OSR, your main proprietor at the Tenkar's Tavern blog. Now, for those who don't know, today's been an extremely busy day on my end. Early morning, I've been an Uber most of the day, and then I was sanitation for much of the evening. Cleaning out my son's room after he is officially now moved to Salt Lake City, but he still left a lot of his shit behind and all the garbage behind. So, this is going up late. Hopefully, after I get this up, that what's our Christmas Day 3 will go up? No guarantees. Yesterday, I spoke about hit points and pretty much about how it requires a suspension of disbelief. You have to buy into the conceit of hit points and the idea that hit points are not actually damage your character is receiving, although we always refer to it as that, because there's no way a 10th level fighter with 18 constitution, somewhere around 100 hit points, has the same hit points as a young adult red dragon or more hit points than an elephant. It doesn't make sense, but within the game, it makes sense, or at least if you allow your suspension of disbelief. Joe the lawyer called in, and he had some interesting observations, and he actually got some feedback from Gary on it. So let's listen to Joe.
Hey, man, Joe DeLore. You know, I interacted with Gary only a couple times. It was on the mid-90s. He has some weird-ass webpage with a, it's like a house or something, and you click a room, and he's in there, and you talk to him via text or messaging or something, you know, and I asked him what the points were, and he said pretty much all luck. I'm like, that doesn't make any fucking sense. I think the only way around it is, like you said, suspension of disbelief, you know, because on the flip side of it, if you're healing hit point damage with a heal spell, the fuck are you healing? Luck? How do you heal luck? How do you heal instinct? How do you heal, you know what I mean? What the hell are you healing? It doesn't make any sense. You just gotta go with it. You just gotta, you know, pretend the preposterous is true. And, like, you know, it's actually just you get tougher as you get higher in level. It's the only way to go. Later.
Joe, I envy you. Seriously, man. I envy you. I never knew that Gary had such a website in the 90s. My interactions with Gary were, I think, I know at least once, maybe twice, with Colonel Plato? He used to have a section on Emerald back in New York nowadays. And I remember conversing with Gary. And I couldn't even tell you what the conversation was about, but he liked my coppers and crullers. What do you want to call it? Not nickname, but I was Tenkar in the forums, but coppers and crullers was the saying with it. He liked that and gave me an invite to play on his back porch. Obviously, I never got out there. It was no way I would have been able to come out to Lake Geneva at that point in my life and walk up to Gary's house and say, hey, I want to play. But it's a beautiful thought. But, you know, hit points aren't the only place where Gary pretty much says, yeah, you just have to buy into it. You have to buy into the conceit. Don't overthink it, because same goes with experience points. Okay. Let's look at it. Experience points and gold. You know, that was something I never quite understood when I first started playing AD&D. It was something that was a conceit that wasn't fully understood by me. Why gold was generally worth more than the monsters that you were fighting. Gary goes into it. It's from page 85 of the DMG, first edition. Players who balk at equating gold pieces to experience points should be gently but firmly reminded that in a game, certain compromises must be made. Hit points are one of those compromises, but in any case. While it is more realistic for clerics to study holy writings, pray, chant, practice self-discipline, etc. to gain experience, it would not make a playable game roll along. Certainly, fighters should be exercising writings. Smiting pelts, I don't know about, tilting at the lists and engaging in weapons practice of various sorts to gain real experience or real expertise. Magic users should be deciphering old scrolls, searching ancient tomes. Experimenting alchemically and so forth, while thieves should be spending their off hours honing their skills, casing various buildings, watching potential victims, and carefully planning the next job. All very realistic, but conducive to non-game boredom. Now, Tui added some of that in. Casters got experience points for casting spells, and thieves got points for doing thiefy things. That's all fine and good. But the reason you have the gold pieces as your primary objective is an old school play. You do better bypassing the monsters that you can to get to the treasure than to fight through them. If you in a lot of the old school adventures, if you fight every creature you come across, you're probably going to suffer some losses in that party. And not for much extra experience. As long as you're getting the treasure, you're getting by far the bulk of the experience. Now, again, this is something that I understand much better now in my older days of gaming as opposed to my initial days of playing D&D or AD&D. Back when I didn't know that HD stood for hit dice, because I didn't have the Monster Manual. So I was wondering why ogres had 4+1 hit points, just say 5. Yes, that probably also confused us too as to why, you know, you would need gold for experience points, because my players were plowing through their adversaries very easily. Because, yes, that giant, that hill giant might do significant damage if he hits. But, theoretically, the party could take him down with 2 blows because I didn't know any better. Right? What, 8+1 hit points? 8+3? 11? Because hit dice, hit points. But, yes. So, you have hit points you have to buy into and experience points. You have to buy into, and you have to buy into other things too. You got to buy into the idea that your statistics or your ability scores, you have a mage that has 18 intelligence, but I don't know of any player who's rated, what is it, 18 intelligence was like an 180 IQ. Wouldn't like 14 intelligence then be genius and above? I don't know of anybody who can roleplay that effectively. How can you roleplay somebody who's smarter than you? How can you roleplay somebody that's wiser than you? You can't, but you gotta roll with it. And that's part of the things that we didn't always see in early gaming, and we don't always think about now. That's why when I did Swords and Wizardry Light, I really focused on the idea that ability scores, like in AD&D, ability scores are huge. You know, it can make or break how effective your fighter is, whether or not it's 18 exceptional strength or not. Whereas the basic D&D on the clones, like Labyrinth Lord and Swords and Wizardry, high scores aren't going to make or break you. Again, that's something that I need to probably devote a whole episode to. But Hit points, experience points, you can't think of them as outside of the game. They are strictly game terms. They don't convert to real life. And one shouldn't try to make them do so. All right. Well, on that note, I'm going to pull away until tomorrow. God bless. Be safe. Roll your dice well. And I will talk with you all tomorrow. Later.